Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep, with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince, and as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. We've been seeing in the past months, when we have been studying the book of Daniel, how it speaks to believers who find themselves in a place which we no longer recognize as home because of the different values and culture and so on to their own, to our own. And all along the way, we have been encouraged to pursue wisdom and live in this so-called exile. Well, in their case, it was really an exile. Not by separating ourselves and withdrawing from the culture, nor by assimilating to it and losing our identity. And what we have seen all that time, that it's not falling to the left, as in withdrawing, nor falling to the right, as in assimilating, but it is the third way. There is the gospel way, the way of dependence on God, which makes for wise living. And as we are entering in the last part of this book, this is still the case. So what we have in our Bibles divided into three chapters, chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12, in fact, I should be read as a whole. This is one big section. So, but this morning we are going to roughly follow chapter division, and we are going to be thinking about the introduction to this large section by looking at chapter 10 and the first verse from chapter 11. So that word from God of which Daniel speaks in verse 1, as we hear, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. This word is a description of everything which follows. So it is not just an explanation for the chapter 10, but rather it says that Daniel has received a word which we will hear in the following weeks. That's mainly chapter 11 and 12. So it's not that that word is not just for chapter 10. But chapter 10 speaks about actually how it led to Daniel receiving that word. And in verses 2 and 3, we hear that in those days, I, Daniel, that was in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. And that happened all the way to the 24th day of the first month. So what we see here is that what Daniel is doing, he is fasting. He is eating only the basic food. And he is not using oils, which in that climate would prevent your skin from going dry and itchy. He is mourning. Why is he mourning? Look at the date with me. Verse 1 says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. What does it mean? It means that it's been over 2 years now since Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild their temple. And when Daniel started this fast, this time of mourning, well, it says in verse 4 that it was that was the first month, and he was fasting for 3 weeks. He had an encounter on the 24th day, which means that he started his fast right at the beginning of the first month. What is so significant about it? Jews were to count. They divide the year, start the calendar year from which event? Exodus. The first day of the first month was an anniversary of that great Exodus, where God has led his people out from captivity in Egypt. So what it means is that Daniel, who was so looking forward to this new Exodus, where people will leave from out from Babylon, he there is an anniversary of that first Exodus, and it's just not happening. In the book of Ezra, if we would read it, we would see that it was only small numbers of people who had taken opportunity to return to Jerusalem. He longed, Daniel longed to see the temple being rebuilt, and it just wasn't happening. And on the top of everything, other nations were troubling Jews, but the Persians, who had the jurisdiction over the land, were just turning blind eye to it. So he's mourning. His hopes are just being dashed. He was so expecting to see something happening, and it is just not happening. So what are you going to do when your hopes are dashed and things are not happening as you wanted them to happen? Have you ever asked yourself this question? What God is doing here? What are his purposes? What will enable Daniel in a situation like this one, where his hopes are being dashed? What will enable Daniel and us to, as verse 19 says, to be strong and of good courage? Well, we are going to see two things which Daniel and us need so we won't despair, turn to the left, as it were, nor compromise to see things happening in a different way, so we will not turn to the left, nor to the right. But what will enable us to go the third way? And there are two things. What's the first thing? In verses 4 to 11, we read that Daniel was met by a heavenly visitor. And this is obviously no ordinary man. He is dressed in such a way because it meant to communicate something to him. Girls, I have a question to you. When you are at school, how do you know that when you need someone, when one of your friends did something to him or her, cut himself or bruised the knee, how do you know to whom you are to go? Maybe that person looks differently? Maybe has some badge or something, like a first aider or something? Yeah. Or when something bad is happening and you need a police officer, how do you know that the person you are speaking to is the one you need? They have a special clothing which meant to signify something. It will be hard for us to mistake a police officer with a surgeon. Why? Because of the way they are dressed. And here we read in verse 5 that this man was clothed in linen. That's something which priests would wear. Even the high priest. So what does it mean? It would remind Daniel of the temple sacrifices, and especially the Day of Atonement, which is what? Which was the way of forgiveness ordained by God. But it's not just priestly clothes he is wearing. There was a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. Who would wear things like that? Kings. And then we read that his body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of the lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. His body is not like any other human bodies in this world. But then it says that the sound of his words was like the sound of the multitude. Have you ever been to a sports event? Let's say a football match, where lots and lots of people are chanting and shouting as they are supporting their team. Well, just imagine that wall of sound, 30,000 voices, something that does make you feel small, hey? And his voice is even more intimidating. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. Daniel's companions were so scared that they fled. It's the majesty that comes from being in God's presence. But it's not just that. Have you noticed this visitor's heavenly gentleness? We read that he touched Daniel not just once, but three times in verses 10. And behold, a hand touched me and sat me trembling on my hands and knees. And verse 16. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth. And then verse 18. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. The first touch kind of woke him up from that sleep, as it were. Sat him, then touched his lips, enabled him to speak, and then touched him again, strengthened him. All of these touches were tender and had strengthening effect on Daniel. And it is easy to see why, when the Apostle John described the Lord Jesus in that passage from Revelation 1, which we have read earlier on, he did that in a very similar way to what we have heard. Why? Because it's Christ whom Daniel met in his what's called pre-incarnate manifestation. It's a vision of this forgiveness of God and his awesome majesty, but also tenderness that he has shown to us in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the first thing which Daniel and us need, so we will not, when our hopes are dashed, we will not turn to the left nor to the right, but we will keep looking up. And what's the second thing? When this heavenly figure came to Daniel, notice what he has heard. Verse 12. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, Your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. His prayers did not reach the ceiling, and that was the end of them, even if he might felt like that for 21 days. But they have been heard, and they have been answered. I have come because of them. And that was when, already at the very, very beginning of the 3-week period, immediately, Psalm 139 verse 4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. So why this delay? It started snowing, right? And all roads from heaven were impassable. Of course not. That's only happening here. Daniel's prayers for God's kingdom caused this heavenly figure to come down. As he says in verse 12, I have come because of your word. These prayers, they set up such a situation in the spiritual realm that the forces of darkness came to resist this amazing supernatural figure. As we read in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Obviously, this prince is not a human figure, because Michael is not a human figure either. He is a spiritual, he's an angel, so we are talking about spiritual reality. So, the prince of Persia is also a spiritual reality. It was satanic power that stood behind this standstill, which also resulted in all which caused Daniel's grief. You see what's happening? Daniel is praying all the time. So, satanic power comes to resist these good effects. And Daniel, he wants to see people coming back, temple being rebuilt. And he says it's not happening. This conflict is against the spiritual forces, as Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:12. And you know that verse by heart, I'm sure. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And what's the result of that? When Daniel hears these words, verse 15, when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. Daniel was shocked. Why? Because he learned that it's the prayers and cries of God's people that are means which are decreed by God to set up conflicts in the spiritual realm. Sinclair Ferguson, when he commented on this chapter, he said these words, I'm going to read them for us now. Involvement in spiritual conflict is not an option for Christians. It is the new environment into which they have been brought by entrance into God's kingdom. Paul tells us that we receive spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, that's Ephesians 1:3, and later in the same letter he tells us that those heavenly places are the sphere in which the principalities and powers of darkness have to be engaged. Do you see what's happening? That little neglected, little thought of prayer. When God's people set their minds and hearts on seeing God's kingdom growing, this struggle is to be expected. But have you noticed what this divine warrior said in verse 20? Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. We do the praying, but it is him who goes and does the fighting. Beloved, seeing him like Daniel did see him. Forgiveness, awesome majesty, and that tenderness of his touch. And remembering these things, that we are to recognize that behind what's going on, there is a spiritual battle. But the Lord does answer prayers, and he fights these battles. This alone will, instead of falling to the left and despair, or to the right and compromise, even when your hopes are being dashed, this will enable you to keep looking up. Why? Because Jesus wins. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage, and enter in the battle by prayer for God's kingdom with that seriousness that Daniel has shown here for 3 weeks. Will you do that?